Hey, everybody, I'm Angela Belt, and welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. We are moving right along with our fall series here. We're on episode 5, and I'm excited to have Natalie Papierre from Magnolia Network's show Artfully Designed, which you can watch season 2 right now on Max. One of the reasons I really wanted to run Natalie's episode this week was that we're all about to go into Thanksgiving. And we all know, even with our friends or family, tensions can be high. It can be really hard to find something that everyone can agree on. But most likely, an interior design show works for all ages. Everyone can give their opinion, and it can be an excellent icebreaker to maybe relieve some of the tension in the room, help with the cooking process, and just try to make things a little bit lighter. I have already been enjoying watching some of the episodes that have been coming up each week on Max, so I thought this was the perfect time that if you haven't caught the first few new episodes, this is a good time to binge watch a few with some family at the same time, and also get some good food going too. This is also my One Room Challenge reveal week. I can't believe it. I actually made it to week 8. I will tell you, you know, this was definitely a challenging design with a family member who has a lot of strong opinions and is just a diehard Taylor Swift fan, which I will admit I am not, but I definitely wanted to infuse that into the design. So I feel like it's kind of a Swiftie-inspired room with some Black Girl Magic kind of all mixed together. So I'll have a link as well on my website where you can go check out the full reveal on the blog. I will be dripping out new images that we did from the photo shoot on Friday throughout the week as well for you guys to share. And on that note, let's get started with the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. I'm excited to have Natalie Papierre on the show today. We are going to get into all things in her career. You've probably seen her show, Artfully Designed, on Magnolia Network, and we are going to dig into a few things with there. But frankly, I'm just excited to have Natalie on the show. There's so many things. I'm sorry you guys can't see all of the eye candy that I'm seeing behind me with Natalie's home, between the artwork, the wall trim, the wallpaper, like everything's grabbing me in. So I'm very excited to dig in and start this conversation today.
I am very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I always like to do this because there are always people who are first-time listeners or just don't know enough about your resume. So let's get into, how did you get started in interior design?
That's a loaded question, but let's go back. So my interior design career started really organically about 8 years ago. I have an art background, and I had a couple kids, and I was a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. And then we bought the big Victorian, and I was a little house poor. So I experimented a lot in my own home with affordable things I could do. Paint, mm-hmm. you know, thrifting. And it just became kind of this evolution where I had one friend ask me for help, and that turned into somebody else asking me for help. And before I knew it, I had a business. So it was kind of like it got started before I had the business part figured out.
And was this all based when you were living in Chicago?
Yes.
I love Chicago because it's so artistic and creative. It's like one of the few cities on my wish list I haven't lived in yet. But every time I visit, like, I just love the creative energy of it.
Me too. There's beautiful homes full of mm-hmm. character. Really cool people, a lot of art and culture. It's just one of those cities, you know, that has my heart.
It does. It has mine too, but it's too cold in the winter.
Way too cold in the winter. That does not have my heart.
So let's talk a little bit about your approach to interior design. Because I feel like you take a lot of homes when we look at the show that are from Charlotte, and so many people have these new builds and they're really cookie cutter and they're beige. And you just find a way to get people comfortable with an explosion of color and texture. How do you make all of that come together for clients?
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head just by like bringing in color that feels like the person who's in the home, like colors that they're attracted to, natural hobbies and things that they love and want to be surrounded by, but they don't know how to pull together in a way that feels connected. Color is a great way to do that. Incorporate that into your home to have like a backdrop that feels either more vibrant or serene or moody, depending upon what you're looking for. But one of the big things I really like to focus on first is art and drawing inspiration, whether that's the mood or the color palette or overall design from either a piece that the client already has or creating art into the home to make it feel more soulful.
And I think that's interesting too, because I know I saw this on the show, but you talk about this too, like a lot of the interior design process, you know, we go through the furniture, the floor plan, the layout, all the furnishings, and art's like the last thing, right? We put some plants in and some art, and the way you work, it's like really right at the beginning, you're thinking about that.
I think it can be really impactful in showcasing a piece that's either really important to you or just can be a focal point in the room and draw from that. And it feels like it's really connected on a different level by starting with the art.
So I feel like you definitely have a maximalist approach to design. When do you know when a space is truly done, and how do you make sure it's not uncluttered in the process?
I very much do like my things, and I like things that have like a little quirk or a story to them. Something that just is an inch, like where somebody wants to ask, like, where did you find this? Or, you know, makes an interesting storytelling process for sure. But in order not to get cluttered, that part is hard for somebody who loves so many things. The big part for that, big part of that for me is just taking time to edit the space accordingly. Mm-hmm. You might love something, but that doesn't mean it belongs there. There might be somewhere else that's better suited where it won't get lost in the clutter and the shuffle. But in order to really see the things that you love, they need that negative space too to shine.
Yeah. And that is the hard thing, because we find so many beautiful things. Like I just went antiquing with a friend, and like, I saw this like spotted little plate, and it's been 3 days, and I'm like, I got to go back and get it. I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm like, I need it in my life. I need that plate.
The fact that you're still thinking about it, I tell people this all the time. Like, if you're still thinking about it, you need to go get it, like make it yours. But you asked too about when is it done?
Yes.
I don't think a design for me is ever really done. I feel like there's something that feels like, okay, and that's it. But that's not how life is. So as you go and you travel and you uncover more memories that you want to incorporate into your home, you can change things out and shift things and still like incorporate those trends that you're seeing that you think are really cute at the moment, but do it in small spaces. And the bigger foundational things should just be things that you really love and that are timeless to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Why do you feel like it's so important to work with local makers and creatives when you work on your projects?
Well, first of all, it's just way more fun when you get to work with other creatives and talents, and just I'm in awe of what people are capable of achieving and building and making. But also it brings another level into a space where it's not just like, I designed this. It's collaborative. We got this art from this person. We sourced this vintage from this person. The lighting was made by this person. And then it becomes just so much more layered.
Yeah.
I love working with the community. I think there's something really special about doing so. We all have gifts, and when you combine your gifts, it can be something even more beautiful.
And I also think as interior designers, I think one of the interesting things too is like you kind of become like a curator, because you find so many cool people and so many different pieces that you just kind of like want to bring as much of it in to a space. And then it really kind of, again, as people come into that person's home, they're like, oh, I never heard about this person. And you're like, they're right down the street. Did you know this and that? And I do think I like the connections that kind of get woven throughout as well.
It's the story behind it, you know, where you can come in, just like you said, and be like, oh, I sourced this from this lady up the street and she was so nice. And, you know, it just, I love the story.
Yes. Well, on that note, let's take a break.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mood Board Podcast. My mom's kicking off spring and summer series all around the stories of home renovations, and boxes are stacked up all around the living room. This podcast has listeners in over 13 countries and almost has 10,000 listens. So thank you for actually clicking on this podcast, and make sure to share it with all your friends and family. Okay, Mom, I'm done now.
What was your experience like filming Artfully Designed for Magnolia Network?
Well, I'm actively still filming season 2 right now. So
congratulations.
Thank you. It is equal parts exciting and fun, and the gratitude I have for the opportunity is I have no words, but it's a lot. It's
yes.
Fast, it's furious. While you're designing this one, you're still thinking ahead to designing the next few episodes. So it's consistently a matter of, getting the help when you need it. I have a great friend, Kelsey, who's working as my design assistant on the crew. We have a great crew who pitches in. Rachel and Frankie, my other co-stars, we truly have to work together to make this happen. And there's something pretty beautiful about that. And we all have meltdowns at certain moments, which, that's just the honest truth. It's not always easy, but at the end of the day, you feel so fortunate.
Also, that's what creates the bonds. Mm-hmm. Those meltdowns with other creatives that you work on a long project together, then you're like, okay, we hit that dark point and then we got up together and we made this project all come together.
Yes. And it is that balance. You're like, somebody's melting. And then the other two have to work to pick each other back up.
Right.
So it's that camaraderie is pretty cool.
And let's talk even a little bit just about you with Rachel. I've had her on the show. And then Frankie, how did that even all come together where you guys felt like the three of us are connected enough to do a show together?
I've met them kind of separately. Rachel, her very first mural that she did for someone outside of her own home was for me. She flew out to Oak Park when I was living in Illinois and did my daughter's room.
Oh, and I think we talked about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think we talked about this in the podcast. Oh, yeah,
it was awesome. She literally was there for a few days. I just connected with her over color and our personalities and families and just that balance between being an artist and life. And then I stay connected with her for a long time. And when I moved to Charlotte, this local photographer that was doing some pro bono work for all the artists that did stuff on the Black Lives Matter mural in Charlotte contacted me and said, I have this artist, Frankie Zombie. He has this amazing painted piano and he wants to know if he can bring it to your home for a photo shoot. I'm like, yeah. So he brings it over with a photographer and he's awesome. We immediately are like, oh, we love color. And like you said, we're in a city that's still growing. And a lot of it still goes basic builder grade beige, mm-hmm. And Frankie and I, we are not that. So we became friends too. And I ended up buying that piano from him because once it was in my house, I couldn't let it go.
Yeah.
But I had a client in California and she was very art forward. She's a huge art lover. So I brought in Liz Cameron, who painted a mural in the living room, Rachel, who painted a mural in the den, Frankie came out and painted surfboards. And that was the start of something okay, this is a concept. Mm-hmm. And the production company I had been working with was we see something here. And I'm like, well, the more the merrier. It's fun to work with your friends,
But you can have more people get exposure to this. Think outside, the box of what you can do in a space.
Yes.
And what your home can be. Your home can be a living canvas. That's what people should kind of be thinking more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so cool. So let's talk about your new collaboration with Mitzi Lighting. And tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind the names for each light that you designed with them.
That was such a fun experience from the very beginning to the end. I just got to see the collection in full myself at the High Point Market showroom, and it was very, very surreal this last weekend.
Wow.
Such a cool process. The inspiration behind all their pieces is kind of a take on vintage meets modern. I love classic pieces, but with a twist.
Yeah.
And all the pieces in the collection are named after my very close friends. And then one collection is named after my daughter.
I love that. And so just so everybody knows too, I'll be sure to have links to all the lighting as well, so you guys can see it yourselves as well. Cause I got some sneak peeks and I'm like, I am already in the process of doing the one room challenge for the fall. I'm like, I might take one of these for my daughter's room, thinking about it.
Love that. Oh, you're doing the ORC. That's so fun.
Oh my God. This is my second time doing it. And I did my son's nursery first. And now I'm doing my daughter's room, and she's like in her tweens. And I just don't know.
I got one of those.
I don't know. How old is she? She's about to be 11.
Okay.
And I am just a little worn out on this one. And I'm like, next time I'll do one room challenge and it'll be like outside and it'll be fun. But I'm like, I'm kind of done.
I feel like you know that process of the ORC is a little bit like filming a TV show where you're like, you got 6 weeks, get it done.
Yes, it's true. Every time, like, I feel like I just got week three and then like, I didn't like email and they're like, week four. I'm like, week four? No. But we'll get something done. It'll be there.
You'll get there.
So let's talk a little bit. I think I always like to talk about this with people too, because I think people will see you, Natalie, and they'll be like, how did she get here? Like, what do you feel like has been a continuous thread in your career that's really helped you grow as an artist and really into a designer?
Gosh, I mean, I honestly think it's been the connection with so many people. Instagram has been instrumental in me growing my business and getting connected with other artists, other brands, businesses. It's huge. And I continue to still do that. I love showcasing artists in art, and you just continue to build those relationships and fun things happen.
So let's talk before we end our conversation. What is next on the horizon for you? And can you tell us any details about season 2 of Artfully Designed?
Well, season 2 of Artfully Designed is more than triple the episodes on season 1.
Oh my God. Okay, so that's a lot.
It's a lot. But you'll still expect the same, strategy we've had going into our clients' homes, trying to make it more like them, pushing them outside their boundaries, filling it with art, color, and joy. If we survive it. Just kidding. We will. We're almost there.
Exactly. You're going to survive it. It just feels like you're in the middle of a hurricane. A beautiful opportunity, like you said, something to truly be grateful for.
Yes.
So
a beautiful,
thank you.
Colorful hurricane. And then what's next? Well,
what's next?
I don't know. I have been actively working on my book with my writer, Stephanie Sisko. And that book manuscript is about to be handed in and given over to the editors. And that is supposed to be coming out end of 2024.
All right. So lots of big things.
All good things.
Natalie, thank you so much. And also, I guess I always tell people, what is the best way for people to contact you, but also to be realistic that she has a book coming out and a season 2. But if they're interested, what's the best way to connect to you?
You can always go to my Instagram. The link to my website is there. There's a contact form. Please feel free to reach out or even DM me on Instagram. I'm usually pretty good at responding. I do love my community and I love hearing from them. So please, I'd love to hear from you too.
All right. Well, Natalie, that is our interview. Thank you so much for coming on the Mood Board Podcast. But this whole conversation filled me up, and this was just a great way, in the middle of the week to have a great conversation.
Thank you. You too. I cannot wait to follow along your ORC. Like, I am on it now.
Well, I hope there was definitely some gems in this conversation for you to take with you as we go into the Thanksgiving holiday. And remember, to check out the shoppable mood board on angelabelt.com/themoodboardpodcast. I'll have links to Natalie's new lighting collection with Mitzi Lighting, and we'll also have some links to the new episodes for season 2. And I just think there's a lot of great things that we're going to keep seeing with Natalie as we move into 2024 with her new book. And I think, again, the collaborations are going to continue to grow and grow. So I think this is definitely someone that if you weren't familiar or you wanted to learn more, this is a great episode, but there is still plenty more to come. Again, with the Mood Board podcast, please continue to share and subscribe with your friends and family. I just want to tell everybody, I am really grateful for all of just the energy and the responses and the feedback that I've gotten from this show. I think there was a time where I'd taken time off from it while I was working at House Beautiful magazine. And I will tell you, the ache that I felt not recording these episodes, not having these conversations, really got to me. And when I came back, it was so great to have those responses from people saying, oh my God, you're finally doing this again. I was waiting to hear some new conversations. This was really, you know, impactful for to me for this way. So I'm really grateful for all of you who've been listening and continue to just be inspired and share their stories with me, because that's really what I love to do with this show. So on that note, I want to wish you a safe and happy holiday. Bye-bye.